Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Max Show. I am Jeff Gamet. I am your interim host, sitting in for Ewan Rankin. And I am so happy to be here with all of you today. I feel like I was kind of going through withdrawal. My schedule didn't allow me to be here for the big show yesterday. So, Patrice, thank you so much for filling in for me. But I didn't
You're crossing the streams, Jeff. You're crossing the streams.
I am crossing the streams, and we did not have total protonic reversal.
That's lucky.
Yet. Yeah, that's lucky.
Jeff, just remember, if anybody shows up because of this, we are gods.
We are. That's right. And aim for the flat top. Oh, yeah. This is why... getting dates has always been difficult. Anyhow, seriously, I didn't get to hang out with all of you yesterday, so I was especially excited for today, so I could just spend time with all of you. And and apparently there are some Apple related things to discuss, which is such a shock. I mean, here we are a week before the U.S. Thanksgiving holiday, which clearly the entire universe revolves around, and still there's news coming out. But before we talk about any news, Patrice, how are you?
I'm doing well. I've had the entire week off. I took a week off just because, you know, those vacation days that we get here that the US doesn't get. I had a bunch of those, so I was like, I'll just take the week off. Didn't do anything special. I went to the hardware store today because I needed some stuff, and I was like, might as well go. I have an electrician coming in, and he wanted some stuff. I'm like, okay, I'll get it.
Cool. So
there's that. Didn't do anything else.
I think that sounds wonderful.
Versus markets are open. So here we go there.
You know, we really, really need to start emulating the EU work lifestyle.
Yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Where it isn't all consuming and destroys our souls.
Yeah. I mean, it still destroys your souls. It's just slower. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. Doesn't destroy our souls as quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what we should do is mandate USB-C for it.
That is a good idea.
That's it.
There you go.
So, Patrice, one of the clients that I have, it's a company that that does content creation for other businesses, and they work with freelancers. Anyhow, one of the people that's a project manager there, one of the projects that we're working on together, there's a couple things that needed to happen with meetings and stuff this week, but he was out, and he let everyone know well in advance that he was going to be out, no problem. And so everyone else that needed to be involved in these projects, we had everything we needed so we could do our meetings. He's on vacation, and he has been involved in emailing and coordinating things. And I sent him an email to remind him he's on vacation and out of office. And he needs to actually honor his own vacation time.
Yeah,
but
I mean,
we're in the United
States. Fair, yeah, no, that's a global thing. I mean, to be fair, I had one meeting this week that I did because like one of my employees came back from their vacation, so I wanted to do a quick handover, and I did one thing. Like we needed some HR stuff, and I was like, okay, I can do that. It takes 5 minutes. Did it from my phone, so I do that too.
Yeah, we need to stop.
Yeah. But that's a me problem, so
yeah,
I have a hard time stopping, to be honest. That's why I had no problem working in the US, because for me it was like, it's the same as everybody.
No, I get it, and it's very easy for me to do that too. But I need to work on making sure that I make time to have a good time and to have fun. Speaking of, Ben, how are you?
I'm doing good.
See? There you go. You are a role model, Ben.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mostly since I work freelance, I don't have to answer to corporations right now.
Yeah, and you can work from your cabin.
Yeah, that doesn't exist.
Nobody knows that.
They do now.
In my head canon, so this is your cabin. Mm-hmm. And it has a transporter in it, so you can beam from your regular home to your mountain cabin anytime mm-hmm. you want.
I mean, we don't even know on which planet that is.
Right?
One to beam up.
Yeah. It's wonderful. Also wonderful. Dave, how are you?
I am doing great. It's Friday. I actually took the day off, so enjoying some time off and... glad to be here, and it's the short week next week is going to be great. A couple days off, and everything is great.
That's awesome. Well, as long as I'm continuing to roll with whatever someone says at the end of our mini chat as a segue. Speaking of great. Chuck, how are you?
You made it sound like that's such a stretch, Jeff.
It's all about delivery. Chuck, you are great.
I am doing just fine. You know, a piece of wisdom. You know, it's not as stressful if you enjoy what you do. Then, yeah, checking in on vacation is not a big deal. You know, so if you enjoy what you do. You know, I feel bad for the folks that hate what they do because that's no way to live. Quit your job now and go find something you like.
I mean, it doesn't mean it's not stressful. Like, you might enjoy what you do, it's still stressful.
Yeah, but stress is good for you. Stress pushes you to achieve and to strive for great things.
And have heart attacks.
I think if you talk to like a biologist or any doctor, they would disagree with you on that part.
What do they know?
You can't argue with logic like that.
Yeah,
exactly.
this is man math.
Man
math. I don't know. Human math.
That's a little sexist there, Patrice. You know, I'll go with work math, maybe.
Work math, okay.
The man math is
capitalist math, maybe.
Is upsetting.
Capitalist math. There we
capitalist
go.
Capitalist math.
Hey, I have no problem with that. I've been called a lot worse things. Sometimes on this show, actually.
Same. Yeah. all right. Well, since we're here, let's talk some Apple news, and hopefully I grabbed all of the stories that we do need to hit this week. So let's start with Apple confirming that they actually are going to roll RCS into the Messages app.
And it doesn't mean what people think it means.
Not even close.
It does not. Even close. But I'm going to play the straight man. I'm sorry, Patrice. I don't get it. What do you mean by that?
Well, I mean, for one, Apple already supports two different protocols in their Messages app. Mm-hmm. The text message and iMessage. So they're just going to add a third one and you get whatever, a purple bubble, if it's RCS and that's it. Like, and on top of all of that, it does not even support end-to-end encryption because that is not in the standard. And Apple said they're not going to implement it until it is, which we can probably wait a long time for. So, because nobody has interest in actually doing it.
Yeah.
So there's that.
Yes.
Yeah, it doesn't mean that now everything that you do in the Messages app and the blue bubbles now all work across all platforms. Nope, not going to work that way.
Patrice, I want to specifically point that out, that iMessage still is end-to-end encrypted. Mm-hmm. Apple is adopting the standard Okay. And the standard is not. So Apple is not, you know, apparently, as I understand it, and somebody correct me if I'm wrong, there are different implementations, proprietary implementations, including one by Google for end-to-end encryption. Apple is electing not to dig into that mess, to just adopt the standard. And so this should silence some of the critics. But why should, if Apple has a perfectly good standard for their customers, which they do, then why should you be required to implement everybody else's standard or standards and just confuse things even farther?
Yeah.
Well, because EU, that's why.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which Apple Insider actually made a very good point on the timing of this, because today, either it was yesterday or today, is the last day that Apple can appeal to the EU.
That was
on
yesterday.
The DMA. Yeah, yeah. Yesterday was the last day they could appeal on the DMA rulings.
And that's when they announced it, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So there has been a couple clarifications for then. RCS will be green bubble, just like MMS and SMS.
Mm-hmm.
So pretty much any text messaging that is done outside of iMessage will be green bubble.
Which probably means unencrypted in this case. It's just green.
Yes, until encryption is added to the universal profile.
Mm-hmm.
And Apple said that literally multiple times in their statement to reporters that it is not going to be the Samsung profile. It is not going to be the Google profile. It is going to be the GSM standard universal profile.
That makes sense to do it that
way,
and not in a in a spite way, which, I mean, sure, maybe that's happening, but no, I don't think that's really what's happening. Supporting the GSM standard as opposed to some forked proprietary version, to me, completely makes sense, because if you're supporting one of the proprietary versions, then you are now under the thumb of whoever it is that makes that proprietary version to open up whatever new features they add in to allow you to use them as well. So if you use just the base standard, you're hitting the protocol without locking yourself into some other company's ideas.
Yeah. It's even worse than that, because, like, they have control, but you also, there's like, you invest in something that you don't know is going to exist. Because, I mean, what if Google says, well, our encryption, we don't like anymore, we're switching to something different.
Which could happen at any time.
Which could happen. They can just decide it's theirs. Yeah. I mean, what Apple could have done and would have been probably very Apple, it could have been like, they create their own extension and say, well, our encryption works that way. But they didn't do that because they didn't have to.
Yeah. And from what I understand, Apple will eventually implement end-to-end encryption, but it will be part of the universal profile.
Mm-hmm. If that ever happened.
Yeah. I mean, the other part about this, essentially what Apple is using RCS for is an upgrade in standard text messaging.
Yeah. I mean, they could support WhatsApp or whatever, like add another one. Like do a universal messages app and have different standards in there. Like
bring back iChat. Anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Doesn't mean anything.
Because I mean, this doesn't mean there are not going to be any benefits, because RCS does have benefits. Chiefly among them, you do not have to be presently hooked up to a cellular network to send a message.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah, it will be able to send them over Wi-Fi, where SMS and MMS specifically require your phone modem.
And that's where it breaks down with Android people and being part of groups as far as iPhone goes and iMessage is because of that very reason, because we, many of us, use our iCloud account instead of as an option to send messages as opposed to just our phone number. And then there's the challenge right there. So, I mean, it's a win-win. I mean, it was kind of funny that they just that they took a back step here. You know, think about a year ago, Tim Cook's like, nobody uses RCS. We don't need to. We're not really worrying about it. Tell your mom to go buy an iPhone. I mean, all of a sudden, yeah, we're talking about here a year later. They took a big turnaround. But I think the EU's push is really a bit of an influence on this.
Well, and doing this announcement now, and essentially capitulating and saying, okay, we'll add RCS. This gives Apple the control in this situation. It allows them to drive the conversation and drive the narrative, and they get to appear proactive as opposed to reactive.
Kind of. Yeah, I mean, it's, as I said, it's not any different than text messages. Like, I mean, you can send a text message to an Android user. You could do that,
yeah, of course,
20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Like, well, Android didn't exist then, but I think you get the point.
Yeah. So in the chat, Bob Beach, hi Bob, is asking, why would anyone want to talk to an Android user? And that's fair. And I have a totally valid use case for needing to talk to an Android user. And it's when you send your friend or family, a member, a message saying, buy an iPhone.
That should come pre-programmed on an iPhone. Basically, every message that you send on RCS is just buy an iPhone. It just gets replaced. Like, whatever you type, it just gets replaced by an iPhone.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Yeah.
Yes, and any message received is replaced with, has an automatic reply of, buy an iPhone, Andrew Dork.
There you go.
Okay.
All right. Well, next story. And apparently we're still in an iPhone mode today. So Apple's plans to create their own 5G modems are apparently being delayed again. So it looks like Qualcomm gets to keep that business for a while.
Yeah, I don't know if this is because Apple's engineers suck on this. I mean, they did get them from Intel. Or Qualcomm's engineers are so freaking good that there was just so much perpetual space.
Or it's like the chips they're getting currently are cheaper and get the job done, and Apple just doesn't see a big benefit in pushing this. I think if they wanted to push it, they could, but they're like, we have time. Like, what's another 3 years? Like, we'll get there.
Well, and Apple has a chip deal with Qualcomm that lasts, what, a couple more years anyhow? So
I think for this specifically, they extended it. Like, I think Qualcomm had said that they were expecting they didn't say Apple, but they said a major customer to jump ship. And then they said, oh no, it was like extended by 3 years, I think. So
okay,
pretty big guess that was Apple.
That's probably a pretty safe guess. Yeah. That was Apple.
Yeah, that's it. The 5G, the 5G modems, I don't think are that much of a competitive advantage currently.
No.
So like it's not like a CPU or GPU where you can actually do a lot of things with.
Yeah.
Right. What do you get? Like maybe a little bit less battery that you need, maybe a little bit, I don't know, better speeds or something, but it's not something where you can say, ooh, this is a big deal. Apple would like to have it, I guess, yeah. That's why they bought it. But it takes however long it takes. I mean, maybe they're not even working on 5G. Maybe they stopped and they're just saying, well, let's focus on 6G. Who knows?
Yeah, and to be perfectly honest, there's really only three companies in the world right now that have active development on 5G modems. There is Qualcomm, there is Apple, and there is Huawei. Yeah, and one of those three cannot sell them in the United States.
That's true.
That's true.
And you know, Apple likes to control everything, but at some point, there are things that it is just easier to let somebody else do for you. And as long as you are getting what you need or what you want out of it, and you know, this is obviously pure speculation, but it was alluded to earlier. What if Apple is trying to jump ahead like it did with the M series chips? That, you know, those we all found out about them sort of, we were sort of blindsided by them, but that development had been going on for years. So, you know, who's to say that Apple isn't satisfied with what the chips they can buy right now from Qualcomm and isn't working on something that is going to, you know, in 3 or 4 years, we're going to sign on to the Mac show and say, oh my God, you know, look what they have. This is what they've been doing all this time. So that's speculation, but you know, it's nice. Awesome.
I mean, did we ever get a confirmation that Apple is even working on 5G at all? I think that was just based on Apple bought the 5G development from Intel. But Apple acquires companies sometimes just for the people and for the talent and for maybe some patents or whatever. So they might have just, like, the second Apple owned them, moved them off to some other project, and they never saw a modem again.
That's an interesting idea. And those people, they probably have expertise in chips for wireless technology in general, and not just specifically 5G.
Yeah, I would guess so.
Yeah, because 5G is just another type of modem. It's a type of radio.
I mean, it is a specific technology, but it doesn't mean that those people couldn't switch to something else. I mean, maybe it takes them a little while to learn the new field, but they totally could do that.
Yeah. I kind of like the idea that
maybe we get the replacement for Wi-Fi. Maybe Wi-Fi is out and Apple's working on something new. Who knows?
That's possible.
It's kind of like you're reading my mind. All right, so Patrice, here's where I was going with this. What if Apple wants to create a proprietary wireless data protocol that they use just for communication between their own products?
Yep.
So you could be on a Wi-Fi network, but you have this other wireless communication thing that's happening without the Wi-Fi overhead. And what exactly they would do with that? Well, I don't know, but I mean, if they're making wearable computers, having super high high bandwidth, super low latency wireless protocols with super low overhead, so that you don't have to have wires.
Yeah,
that seems kind of compelling.
Yeah, keep in mind, a lot of Apple's devices these days don't have, well, some of Apple's devices these days don't have ports. The Apple Watch doesn't. The Vision Pro looks like it doesn't. Not really a port, just a magnetic connector, charger probably. There have been rumors, and I've talked about it, that I think Apple wants to get the iPhone completely port-free. They're very close to that. So yeah, you might be right. Maybe that's the next step, to say wireless communication, short range between all the devices, and it's not Bluetooth because that's limited, and it's not Wi-Fi because that's maybe too big. It's too much power.
And also too noisy right now.
Yeah, exactly. And especially, I mean, the Vision Pro, like, seems to be communicating with the Macs in your vicinity. Maybe that's one way of doing that. Who knows?
All right. I totally spun this right out of my butt. And Dave, the only reaction I've gotten out of you, out of the whole that whole concept, was your laugh right now.
Yeah, well, welcome to Jeff's ass of crackpot theories.
Putting the crack in crackpot.
Ass crack. Yeah, I'm putting the crack in crackpot.
Oh boy.
Oh my god.
Oh.
Show title.
Yeah. Oh man. Okay. So I'm assuming the next story we need to talk about are the Apple App Store Awards. Yeah. If there's something that's more important to talk about, then please let me know and we will talk about that. But regardless, I just dropped the App Store story link into the live chat. Mm-hmm. Okay, no one's fighting me on this, so here we go. Apple, they rolled out earlier this week, right? Am I remembering right? Because this week has been a blur. Earlier this week, they announced their App Store award finalists. And mm-hmm. for those of you that might have not heard of this before, maybe you live under a rock or mm-hmm. just don't care, which is totally valid. Every year, Apple picks several apps that are available on their various app stores that stand out for different reasons. So like for App of the Year, the finalists that they have right now, and I'm pulling this right from a MacRumors piece, App of the Year finalists for iPhone, AllTrails, Duolingo, and Flighty. And
yes, nice. Yes, and yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm.
I'm with it. We're with him on that. And iPad App of the Year, Concepts, DaVinci Resolve, and I don't speak French. So is it Prea Makeup? Am I even close?
I think that's Prea Makeup. I don't know.
Well, it's that French. So with Spite, French. You don't say most of the letters.
Yeah. Hey, makeup?
Maybe you should use Duolingo and translate.
I mean, I don't know how many years of French in school, but I would say pay our makeup.
Okay, let's go with that.
Yes, because remember that there has never ever been a T pronounced in French.
Yes.
Yeah, I think you're right. And the drink that's made from steeping ground up dried leaves in hot water, they just call that brown wire.
Okay.
I'm sure that I'm going to get a letter from the EU.
Oh, yeah. Not from the EU, from the French government, because they have an agency for the French language. So you will get one.
Yeah, actually, Jeff, it is. I stick my nose up at your English brown water.
Oh my god!
Oh, Ben.
Oh, me or is this one of the weirder shows we've had?
Yes. Let's see. Who can we insult next?
Oh, the list is so long. Can we start slamming on Elon? I mean, he makes it so easy.
He does it to himself.
Yeah, that's true.
But I will not be slamming on the Mac App of the Year candidates because I use Photomator every day.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Okay, fair. Okay. Bob Beach is saying that there's a cafe chain in the UK called
Pret-a-Manger.
Yeah, I think there's one here too.
Mm-hmm.
But here in the United States it's probably called Pret-a-Manger.
Yeah, probably.
I totally forgot what the topic was. Oh, right. The apps.
Apps of the year.
Right. Okay, the big thing for me out of this is that they actually had Apple TV apps of the year. I assumed Apple had forgotten they actually had an Apple TV.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I could just list through all of these apps, but no, instead I will ask all of you if there's anything that stands out from the list, anything that we need to be looking at or talking about.
Return to Monkey Island? I don't know. Is that Mac game?
Yes.
Oh, great. Return to Monkey Island.
Mm-hmm. It's a Mac game of the year, so.
Yep. And with that, if you want to see AAA gaming on Mac, Lies of P definitely qualifies.
Okay. Actually, Ben, I was going to ask you about Lies of P because I figured if anyone here has had any exposure to that game, it would be you. And I hear about that game a lot.
Yeah, from what I can tell, it is literally that good.
It really looks beautiful.
And also, from what I understand, the port is perfection.
Okay. That's very cool. Yeah.
And I would obviously mention DaVinci Resolve, because this is now another pro level video editor that's been brought to the iPad.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it might be the cross platform editor at this point.
It is cross platform.
It's a good point. Well, I don't know how cross platform it is, Ben, but that's a real good point. Something we should look into. Very okay.
Yeah, unlike Apple, you can take your Vinci Resolve files on the iPad and plug them right on a Mac or PC.
Interesting.
Yeah, so the thing with DaVinci Resolve is, for me, is that they were really smart with the way they created this app, because what they were doing, at least initially from what I understand, was they were creating their own video editing tool to go along with everything else that they make. Mm-hmm. And they created the tool and it's great. And then there are certain like pro level features you get if you pay for it, or if you're using their other products that this would tie into. So they've made this really great gateway tool into the rest of their products, mm-hmm. and they did it really well and in a surprisingly generous way, because they're giving everyone a full featured non-linear video editing tool that's truly cross-platform, and it's just free to use. There are no other commitments that you have to make, like data sharing or anything. You can just use it.
Yeah, and it's not like Blackmagic did the bare minimum here. DaVinci is extremely optimized for the Mac and iPad.
Which is a smart way to do it, because this is your calling card to potential customers. So if you want to bring more people into the whole DaVinci ecosystem, you better give them something that tells them that it's worth investing in the other products that they make.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right, so the area that I haven't seen people talking about much are the cultural impact finalists. And I found that actually to be really interesting. Yes, Copilot's there, which that's like a financial budgeting app.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But the other things that are there, like Balance and Finding Hannah and How to Say Goodbye, though, when I saw those on the list, I thought that was really interesting, because now you're looking at apps that help, like, with working through the grief of losing someone that's close to you, or going through the whole menopausal process. So anyhow, I just thought that was really cool that we're seeing a diversity in the types of products that Apple is highlighting here. And it's not just the stereotypical video games and other tools.
Yeah, I mean, but is that a surprise? I mean, keep in mind, these are not, these are the apps that sold the most or like by any measured metrics were successful. This is an editorial pick. This is marketing. These are the things Apple wants to highlight from their stores.
Yeah, and but yes. But highlighting. Oh, go ahead, Chuck. You're about to talk, and I just started rambling. Go.
No, that's okay. I mean, I'm going to ramble too. I mean, in some ways, that's kind of what most award things are. That, sure, you know, they are, if you have top sellers, they are top sellers. That's there's quantifiable evidence. In this case, you're right. It's whoever makes. I mean, if all of us were asked to give App Awards of the Year, we would all approach the topic from completely different angles, and I'm sure we would have very little overlap, if any. And so here we have a situation where, you know, and that doesn't mean there's anything wrong with that. It's just something to recognize.
Yeah, but I'm also pretty sure nobody voted on them. So it's not like the Academy Awards where there's like a panel of people voting on what they thought were the best. Like, this is probably just like, this is a team at Apple that, like, the editorial team that picks the things that they think are interesting. And there's nothing wrong with that. No. It's still interesting to see.
And it also highlights the diversity of applications available for Apple platforms.
Yeah. And it gives, I think it's even, there's a benefit to doing it that way, because it highlights things that might not be as popular. Because otherwise it probably, I mean, whatever, it would be Facebook probably in the first place or something like that, because it's like the most downloaded app. So they have a chance to highlight smaller apps that in their area, in their niche, in their community are impactful and highlight good things about the store. Mm-hmm. And expose it to more people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's the whole thing why Apple has an editorial team to begin with, right?
Yes. Yeah, that's exactly right.
Yeah. And again, there's nothing wrong with that. It's just just recognizing that, you know, if you think these are the quote unquote best apps that are out there, okay, that's one entity's opinion, if you will, with their objectives for it. And so, but if you have completely different objectives, you might find completely different apps that are the best.
And you will find other similar awards or similar competitions or whatever you want to call them. Like, I mean, there's like on Relay FM, for example, there's the Upgradees. People vote for their favorite app of the year. But they will approach it from a different angle.
Now, next year, we will have Vision Pro in the mix.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it'll be really interesting to see what sort of apps we have for Vision Pro this time next year and what Apple chooses to highlight.
I thought you would say next year we're going to have our own awards.
We can.
We can if we want to.
We totally could do that. We could do an end of the year apps award from BTN.
What?
I like this idea.
And Patrice will have to be the presenter because nobody else here can wear a dress.
That's not true.
Oh, you could.
Any of us could wear a dress. Exactly. It's just we wouldn't wear it as well as Patrice.
Well said, Jeff. Well said.
Yeah.
I want to see that.
It's
no, you don't.
You know, all of a sudden I kind of want to see Chuck in a dress and heels.
You just keep wanting, Jeff.
Okay, where's the trash can? I need that.
There's another show title.
In the words of Mr. Spock, sometimes it is better to want and not have than to have and not want.
Yes. And so I will just simply want. But Chuck, I've got this.
No, okay, don't, Jeff. Don't go there.
My head.
No, please don't. Please do not.
You know what? We're talking about apps. They did do something of Apple Music Classical.
Oh, sure. Let's actually talk about Apple Music Classical real quick.
Right. Thank you. Thank you, Ben.
And then we'll get back to the light blue dress with white lace that I see Chuck in. Just goes just below his knees and white pumps. It has kind of a clinger vibe, but not exactly. all right.
This is not a role.
Does anyone have a link to a story about Apple Classical coming to the iPad?
It was in the show notes of mine yesterday.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
I have them still open for this.
I will find it quickly.
Okay. Well, one of you is grabbing the link. I'll do the quick background on it or the setup. So Apple Classical rolled out for the iPhone a while ago. I got on a soapbox and ranted about how why would they release this on a device where by default you actually can't listen to the highest quality audio files? Why isn't it available on the Mac? And it should be everywhere. Well, they're getting us a step closer because this week Apple released the iPad version of Apple Classical, and that's great. And yet I'm still sitting here questioning why, especially now it's available on the iPad, why do we not have a Mac version of Apple Classical so that we can have the highest quality available classical music recordings from Apple's services on the device that has the highest likelihood of allowing us to play the highest quality versions of those pieces. Anyhow, that's my editorialized setup for Apple Classical is now available on iPad.
Yeah. So how long until we get it on the Mac?
8 months.
Okay, that long.
Well, it was 8 months between iPhone and iPad.
Right.
Yeah, but I mean, iPad to Mac is not that big of a jump. Like iPhone, like I can see iPhone to iPad being, I mean, not an 8 month jump, but like need some time because you have more space, you have to figure out what to do with it and so on. But iPad to Mac, I mean, why not tomorrow?
That's fair. Yeah. Now, in the chat, Bobby just saying, but you can listen to high-res files via an external DAC. And that is absolutely true. And in fact, on my Mac, I have an external DAC. I have multiple portable external DACs. Actually, I have multiple desktop DACs too. I have an issue. but yes, I have portable DACs that I use with my iPhone and my iPad. But the point is the place where you have the highest likelihood of people out of the box being able to listen to higher quality audio files. That's the one place where Apple doesn't have Apple Classical yet.
Mm. Yeah.
It's also the lowest probability of like someone even caring. Like, I mean, it's simply there's a lot of iPhones, there's less iPads, there's even less Macs out there.
That's absolutely fair. It doesn't make me any happier.
No. Totally not. Yeah, but now we learned you have a DAC issue. That's good to know.
I do. I could probably grab at least two DACs from where I am right now if I wanted to like paw through the drawers that are right over here, I think there's one in my computer bag sitting right over here. There's a couple of others in a box over there.
But is that Jetsia Dex or Ezra Dex or Ronan Dex?
Or is it a bag of Dex?
Bag of Dex.
All right, man. I'm going to do that photo. I'm going to throw a bunch of my Dex in
a bag. There's another show title.
And show everyone my bag of Dex. Nice audio engine. Dak, you have there, Dave. Thanks. Yeah, I can pick a lot of them out just by seeing the box without seeing the logo on them.
So I'm going through the classical app here, and I'm finding that it pulls in the playlists from Apple Music, but I don't have any classical music in Apple Music. One of the playlists is 90s Club Essentials. Is there classical music on that? It's a Björk song.
Depends on the point of view.
Depends on the club you're going to.
Well, it's a Björk song, Big Time Sensuality. That's a classical song.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's okay. Let me ask a serious question, which seems completely out of character for the show. But is the fact that it's not available on the Mac an indication that that's not where people typically listen to their music, even classical listeners? And Jeff, I'm with you on, you know, from the highest quality standpoint, there's no question. But is this a case of putting the assets and resources where people are actually using them instead of maybe where you're going to get the highest performance, especially given that, and nobody hit me, all you classical music lovers, but you know, it's just not where the majority of the audience is.
That may very well have something to do with it. Yeah. Which would fit nicely with what Patrice was saying, is we got it for the iPhone first, then we got it for the iPad, and then we'll get it for the Mac next.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, it would be nice to see it come to Apple TV as well. Which will happen after the Mac.
That should work, right? Over HDMI, you should be able to send a lossless signal, right?
Oh yeah, but what I mean is a native app on Apple TV. But yeah, right now, if I launch Apple Classical on my iPhone, and then I AirPlay to my HomePods, then it actually switches the stream to the playing directly from the HomePod, but controlled from the Apple TV, which then gets you a higher quality audio file.
Yeah. So, I mean, the Apple TV is going to get it in like 3 years, probably, but
16 months.
16 months. Okay.
Yeah, 16 months. But the fact that I have HomePods and I have my best audio setup is connected to my computer, but I have a nice audio setup for my television, and everything runs through Apple TV. There are times where I will stream my music directly from the music app on the Apple TV and use my home theater sound system.
Mm-hmm.
So it would be nice to have it everywhere.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what else is nice? Even better than nice? Actually kind of
TSO
awesome.
TSO host.
Yes, TSO. Ben, you are right. It's TSO host. And what makes them so good, so great, so awesome is that they are like top of the line with their web hosting services, their domain purchasing services, everything that goes along with having a website. They're nailing it. And why, you ask, would I possibly bring this up? Well, it's because they're taking what they do so well and using that so that we can do what we do so well, which is apparently go off on random discussions and come up with clever show title names a couple times a week. And what I mean by that is they are giving us hosting space for our website. They are giving us server space for all the show files so that you can watch or listen to episodes anytime you want. They're giving us the bandwidth so we can live stream shows to you multiple times a week. The resources it takes to do all of this, kind of crazy. Crazy enough that even with as crazy as we are, it's a little bit more than we could actually manage to make happen on our own. So they are very generously giving us the resources so that we can be here for you every single week. And that's really awesome. And we really appreciate it. So when I say thank you, TSO host, for being here and supporting us, I do mean it. And I'm using that as a setup so that you know what to say when you go out on social media and thank them yourself, because that's an easy way to show appreciation to TSO host for being here and supporting us. So please go give them some online love on social media and thank them for being here and supporting us. So you need to do. Of course, if you are in the market for a domain name, why not use their services? Because they're really good at that. They make it super easy for you to get your domain name picked out and purchased. If by chance you decide, hey, I want a website to go along with it, well, why not get some hosting as well? Just throw all of it in your cart. And then add the discount code BTN20, and you're going to get 20% off your order. So not only are they being amazingly generous by supporting us so we can be here, they are being generous by giving the whole BTN family a nice discount on what they do. So thank you, TSO host, for being here and supporting us. And speaking of support, holy crap, Patrice, I clearly need support every single week with telling people about the chat. Would you mind helping me out?
Yeah, of course. So we have a really awesome chat. It's a live chat. So when we're recording live, you can hop in and talk to us live. Like Bob Beach, for example, has been doing today. There was someone with three H's that jumped in and jumped out. I don't know what happened there. We are, of course, in there. There's a little bot in there. That's our chat bot. Gonna get to that in a second. So yeah, if you just want to see all the links as we're talking about them, the cool things, the links to that when they're now coming up, all of that, head over to chat.britishtechnetwork.com when we're recording live, which is Fridays, 4 p.m. UK time for the Mac show, and Thursdays, 7 p.m. UK time for the big show. If you're into the non-Apple side of things like chip design and gaming and cars and space and just anything that has to do with technology, that's not Apple. So that's our live chat. Really cool. But let's say you are you're listening to this in the recorded form in your favorite podcast player of choice, on our awesome website hosted by DSO host on our server, you can still get to the chat transcript, and that's where that bot comes in. So we have a bot, and that has since November something, beginning of November 2015, it's been recording every little thing that was said in the chat, and it puts it up on our website. And all you have to do to get to that and to get to the to what was talked about, get to the links, get to the, that's kind of our show notes almost. All you have to do is head over to britishtechnetwork.com/chat. And then there is a calendar that asks you for a date, and you put in the date for the show, which is for today, for example, the 17th of November, 2023. And when you do that, you will see everything that was talked about.
Awesome. Thank you for doing that. And so with that, it's time to do some cool things. So I was going to say who has the first cool thing, but it turns out that's Dave. I didn't even have to ask. Dave has the first cool thing.
Yes, I talked about Logitech lights, and I did it on the on Mac Voices for the gift guide, but I'm going to pick another one here that they have, which is really cool and a lot less money. This is the Logitech for Creators. That's a Lytra Glow. It's a premium LED streaming light. Super nice and small, compact for someone who just does wants to have good lighting and different diffusions for wide and flatter lighting. It fits nicely on top of the of your laptop. It's got a bracket that you can mount right next to your webcam if you have it. Gives you really good light and has a cable management, which is really awesome. It's got a three-way monitor mount. The diffuser's on there, and it's USB powered, which is great. You don't have to mess around with the having to have a power brick, and simple on-off switch. And it also it integrates with Logi's options software, which is really cool because I have it with my MX mouse here that I have here, and it'll integrate very nicely with that, and as well as giving you controls to turn the lights on and off and controlling without having to fumble up at the light and have to make the changes. But for $50 and just to have a good simple light, I think this is a nice good choice. And I guess my camera just went out.
That's really cool, and I like that price.
Yeah, $50.
Awesome.
Yeah, this looks very nice, Jeff, for like a secondary thing or
Traveling with it. Nice look light to have. And
yeah, I like that. Or if you have a small space, maybe get a couple of them and balance out your light. And
I will say I love my Lytra LX. I just bought it. As people are noticing, my lighting is a little different. That's this one they have is really good too. So they're making some pretty good lights. I'm very impressed.
Nice.
Cool. It's interesting how this has become suddenly, since the pandemic has become a market that now people are finally figuring out they need to up their game just a little bit.
It's happening at work for me too, because people are realizing how bad they look when they're on Teams calls.
Don't say the T word in our presence, Dave.
That they are noticing that. I think I might need a light. I'm like, okay, and not just a ring light. And people want to buy those ring lights. I'm not a big fan of those.
Yeah, I'm not a fan either. I get where they are useful, and they're certainly better than not having a light at all.
Of course, but then they want to put the camera right in the ring.
Yeah. All right. Very cool. Okay. I'm actually having difficulty not buying one right now, even though I have no need for it. All right, Ben, tell us about your thing and distract me with something that hopefully. Oh, I just clicked your link. Damn it. All right, tell us about your thing anyhow.
Oh, no, what is this?
Yes, Jeff, you want both of these. Okay, my cool thing is the second act of a little company called Opal, which was founded by ex-Apple engineers. Previously, they had a larger webcam called the C1, which was $300. I know some friends of the show have this particular web camera, but the Opal is designed specifically for laptops. It uses a 4K Sony sensor. Microphones are designed to only pick up what's right in front of the camera. The USB port has a freaking mute switch.
Mm-hmm.
It comes in black or white, and it's only $175.
Only.
And it's also designed to clip on right where the notch is on the MacBook Pro.
Which is where you would want it on a laptop.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
All right. Oh, and okay. So USB-C connection. Oh, see, this is really nice.
Yes, it is. That's why it's my cool thing.
Yeah. Okay, the one thing I'm not seeing on it that I would love, even though this is designed to be a portable laptop camera, would be a tripod screw hole.
It doesn't have it because it's supposed to clip on the lid.
Mm. Right, which I totally get.
Yeah, it's also only 1080p. It's a 40. It's really crazy. It's a 48 megapixel chip, but it's binned to 1080p. Yeah, that's interesting.
For that price point, that's a little bit high.
Mm.
I wonder if that's intentional because you're assuming since you're using it on a portable device that you want to throttle bandwidth some. I'm totally speculating here.
It only has USB 2 speed. So yeah. I think this is a binned chip that like probably some Sony chip from some other production line. That's interesting.
Still a cool little camera.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, it does, and it has a Sony mirrorless sensor, which you know is going to be, even if it isn't only 1080p, it's going to be amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, keeping in mind that Zoom, for example, for the most part, only does 720p.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So 1080, more good than point. Enough.
Yeah.
For, I mean, for like, it's not a camera that you would use to do 4K video production on your laptop.
No.
Like, it's a webcam for Zoom or Teams or whatever called.
Mm-hmm.
And we all do that. We all get hung up on mm-hmm. the specs. And yeah. When you look at what you're actually doing or using, you could save yourself some money and wait for a more affordable version when the software you're using actually supports it.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. So for the use case for this camera, it's a really nice camera. Cool.
Yeah.
All right.
It's designed to be as unintrusive as possible.
I just checked. My Zoom is telling me that it's sending a 320 by 180 resolution currently. Don't know why, but
sounds wow. Like Zoom.
14 FPS. I don't know if that's correct. It's just showing that.
Well, you look great for 14 for that for that resolution, Patrice. So.
Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe Zoom is doing a little magic in the background.
Yeah, or the statistics are wrong.
I'm going to go with what they're showing you is wrong.
Mm-hmm. I
would think so.
All right, Patrice, tell us about your pick. I just clicked the link, and mm-hmm. How did I not know about this?
I don't know how you didn't know about this. So last week, I think on the big show, I picked KG as my search engine because I tried it for I think 2 months, month and a half, something like that. Jeff, I remember you recommended it at some point mm-hmm. and I tried it and used the 300 searches and they lasted until I think earlier this week. So quite a while. So I subscribed to it and my cool thing today is the Orion browser from the same team. So it's a WebKit-based browser. So it comes with all the goodness that WebKit brings, including tab groups and everything. They really mm-hmm. made sure that like it's a good replacement. And it defaults as a search engine to KG. Doesn't mean you can't use Google. You can still like you can go in and change it. Like if you prefer Google, you can still use it, but kind maybe of the need point it
for,
of it is
for work for comparison searches.
Or yeah, if you're exactly. Doing I mean, you can at any point. It's a browser. Like you can at any point go to Google and or Bing or DuckDuckGo or whatever and try that. But mm-hmm. So it's on the Mac. It's on iOS. I think it's also on Windows if I remember correctly. And it's just the for me the thing is I use it on iOS a lot. Because for me, you know the Google app on iOS, which is basically just the search engine in an app. Mm-hmm. You can go in, you can type in and start searching. And this is kind of the same thing. You open the Orion. I mean, you can use you can integrate it in Safari and it kind of works with KG because Apple doesn't allow apps to provide search engines yet, and KG is not on Apple's list of official search engines yet that you could just pick from. Hopefully you're going to do that, but for now that's like they found a really clever workaround for KG to so you can use it in Safari and so on, but it's not the same. But this is basically it. You can just like whenever I want to do a search, I just open the Orion browser app and just use that. And that worked exactly the same as a Safari. So, it's a good app.
And here's the even better part. It automatically brings over all your settings and and everything from Safari.
Yes. Right. Yeah. It also has, and that's a big deal these days. It's like it doesn't send any, like it blocks all the, like all the whatever Google, what is it called? Google, you know, the crap, what's it called? The Google thing on every website that basically pings back to the Google servers and what is it called? I'm blanking.
Cookies.
Well, also cookies. Yeah, no, there's a term for it, and I'm blanking.
Yeah, and I'm totally forgetting it right now.
But we all know what I mean.
Yeah,
like all those things pinging back to servers and reporting that you are on this website. It blocks first party ads by default. It blocks first party trackers. It blocks third party ads and trackers by default. You can disable all of that if you want to. But by default, it's a privacy first browser. It's a privacy by design browser, and since it's built on WebKit, you know it's privacy first, and you know it's fast. So it's just I found it really interesting, and because it's WebKit, all your extensions work. Like that's the other cool thing. It's not a completely new browser with a new engine and whatever. It's kind of a Safari-like experience.
Yeah, I mean, it's like Safari, but customized.
Yeah, and not from Apple.
Oh, and it supports a lot of Firefox and Chrome browser extensions, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, which Safari, by the way, also does these days.
Yeah, that's true. It's just the extensions that I would want to use in Safari don't work.
Yeah. Yeah,
because of special needs.
Yeah. So the browser is in beta right now. It's quite new, but I have not found any issues with it. I don't know why it's beta. I'm guessing they're still working on something. I couldn't tell. And I mean, you can support it. Like they have a special Orion Plus version if you wanna support it, but you don't have to. They don't push it, and like again, privacy first and so on. They don't push it in front of you and say, hey, you should buy this, whatever. No, like there's a little button that says, hey, like if you want to buy it, go here. Yeah, it's basically it's financed by KG. So if you subscribe to KG, it's kind of support this as well. But there's a separate support. You can send the money basically.
You don't get
anything really. If you subscribe to Orion Plus, you don't get anything special. You just get early access and you get a badge.
All right. So. I need to try this out.
It's a good, it's a good app.
I mean, it's really interesting. I'm looking at their pricing page and they make a point of saying ad-based search engines make almost $300 a year off their users. Okay. That's a nice little quantification.
And that's probably underestimate. Like look at how much Google, we talked about that yesterday in the big show, how much Google pays to Apple for being the default.
Yeah.
So you can imagine how much they're making if they can pay that much.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But here we go. We're back to a question of how much is your privacy worth anything to you? Mm-hmm. And how much do you care if you're being tracked? And, you know, it'll be interesting. You know, we've all talked about, let's see, what do we have? Brave browsers, DuckDuckGo, Brave, I guess, is technically the browser, not the search engine, but, you know, DuckDuckGo and all. So it will be interesting to compare the results here side by side with the DuckDuckGo result and see what happens.
I can only tell you anecdotally, I had my issues with DuckDuckGo. I think the things I was looking for, it was struggling with, and I had to resort to going back to Google every now and then because it just wasn't bringing up the results.
I've had the same problem, Patrice.
I've not had the problem with KG. Not so far. I mean, over the last 2 months, hasn't happened. The results are really good.
Yeah, what a lot of people are finding when they compare the same searches on KG and Google is that the search results they're getting on KG are much higher quality.
Mm-hmm.
And because there isn't so many ads in based there. On who's paying to mm-hmm. be at the top of the list, which yeah. sadly that's what Google has become.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, the thing is, Bob Beach in the chat is saying, I ain't paying for search. And that's totally fine. If you don't want to, that's fine. But it's not, it's honestly not that much. Like, as I said, I have on purpose set out to see, like, how far, like, how long would it take me to use up the 100 free searches that you get?
Mm-hmm.
Because there's basically a trial thing. Like, you get 100 searches. And it took me a long time. It took me longer than I expected. I was thinking, oh, I'll probably run out after 5 days or something. And it took me almost, I think, a month and a half or something. And then it's $5. $5 a month or 54 a year. And you get, what was it? I think if you do the year, you get 3,600 searches. And if that's not enough, you just go to unlimited, which is twice the price. And there's a family option even, which is even cheaper. Like, you can get, like, I looked at it today, and there's, like, a really nice family option. It's, like, 6 people, and I think it's, like, $14 a month, and everybody gets their own thing. You can set up something for your kids that they can only see certain things. There's a lot of options that it brings with you. I can, like, what is shown, what's not shown. So it's a really, I'm surprised. It's a really good engine. And it's a really good service, and it's easily worth the $5 for me, because I don't have to deal with all the ads.
I'm with you on KG. And now I need to try out Orion.
Mm-hmm. Give it a try.
Awesome.
I'm gonna rain on the parade just for a second. Because I can. $5 a month. So KG is tracking your usage to limit your to allocate you $300 a month. So that means they're tracking you in some fashion. You've identified yourself, and that's fine.
But they don't sell your data, they don't do anything with your data. All they do is, hey, someone send a search. They don't track what you searched. That's fine. Like, I mean, sure. Like, if you have an account, if you pay for it, they need something. Is it? Sure, they will have some data of yours.
Yeah, I'm not beating on KG. Mm-hmm. I'm just pointing out that you are signing up for something, so mm-hmm. you're providing them some with your information. And we've all seen, God, I've become so cynical, but we've all seen these companies that say, we don't track, we don't listen, we don't pay attention, and then mm-hmm. 6-8 months later, 6 years later, somebody was actually doing it. We just we missed it. Mm-hmm. So I just something to think about.
Sure. Like, you decide. But for me, the quality of the results so far is worth the $5. Simple as that. And not having to deal with all the ads and all the crap that Google throws at you.
Yeah. Thank you, Bob.
Yeah. Our cynic.
He didn't just call me a cynic. He called me an old cynic. So thank you very much, Bob.
But it's time for your cool thing, Chuck.
Right. Speaking of being tracked all the time, what's your cool thing, Chuck?
Yeah. Well, this is gonna go completely against everything I just said. So I need to explain my cool thing, because
I think you do.
Yes, you do.
Okay. So my cool thing is an Amazon Fire TV stick. Okay. So here's. I'm not going to tell part of this simply because that comes at a later date after I finish trying it out. But in my bedroom, I have a Fire TV that is probably 7 or 8 years old at this point. It's a pretty old Fire TV, and it works just fine. You know, it does everything I need it to do, and it's one of the budget ones. I think it's an Insignia from Best Buy. So, but it was intended as a secondary TV. I have another room in my home where I had a legacy TV, not a smart TV at all, dumb TV. And it too was serving its function. Recently, I had a need or a desire to have that non-smart TV become a smart TV. I went to was in Best Buy and saw a Fire TV Cube second generation that had been returned, and it was on an ungodly discount. And it's like, yeah, why not? You know, with the Fire TV is fine in the bedroom, you know, so this would be a good way to bring smarts to my other TV. What happened was that I was shocked at how much progress had been made between the original Fire TV and the new Cube as far as speed goes. Now my Fire TV in the bedroom just feels like I click the button and I wait for the app to load, and oh my God, it's taking so long. Whereas even on the older TV with that newer Cube, it feels like it snaps. Yeah. So but I'm not prepared to say you should go and buy, because the Cube is like $100. The Fire TV Cube is like $100, but this stick is only $40. And so if you have a need to have your smart TV upgraded, or if you have a non-smart TV that you would like to add, this is probably a pretty good deal. Now, why am I not going with the Apple TV? That's a story for another time, because I have something that right now does not have Apple TV support. So we'll talk about that eventually after I've done my testing and done a briefing on it and everything. But bottom line is, don't think that the new Fire Sticks or the new Fire TVs or whatever are representative of what you might have purchased in the past. They have definitely done some upgrades. If nothing else, they've just put in faster chips. But it makes a huge difference when it comes to launching some of those apps.
Yeah, that is why I now only use external streaming devices.
Yeah,
because it's always going to be a better experience than the internal ones, which, quite frankly, the TV manufacturers always try to save money on the smart chips.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and if it gets to the point where your Fire TV stick or your Google stick, I have to say Google TV is excellent, and that the $20 on one is legit. But it's whether it's Fire TV, Roku, Apple TV, or whatever, you're going to have a very good experience with an external streamer.
I just bought a 4K TV not too long ago that's sitting here next to me, 43-inch. And yeah, I started playing around Samsung smart TV stuff. I'm like, why am I bothering with this? I mean, I've already got an Apple TV and Google TV, Roku, and all them to play with anyway. and I just find their interfaces just, they're just so bad. It's just, I'm gonna shut it off. I don't even want it to go on the network, honestly.
Yeah. Let me guess, you have a box somewhere with all the...
Oh, but they're all small sticks. Devices, you know. The Apple TV is only this big, and the Roku is like that big. Just sitting cleanly over there. Doesn't look too bad.
And Bob Beach says Apple TV for me all the way, and I'm with you, Bob. Again, I have at the moment, I have a special need case, special use case, and didn't want to wait to see if and when an Apple TV app is developed for this. So that's why I started doing this. And again, if you go to Best Buy, you know, love them, hate them, whatever. If you shop smart, you can look at some of their return stuff and get some real deals, because they just want to turn it around.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. All right, you did melt my head a little bit, because I wasn't expecting you to go down this path. And I used to
call from Egypt.
Even totally get that. It's probably a very important business.
Sorry to interrupt there, but I saw that. I'm like, holy crap, really?
All right. Okay. So then I think it's my turn now. Mm-hmm. And I changed my cool thing for this week based on our discussion before the show. So my cool thing I was planning, it's okay.
So it's not going to be Lego?
It can wait. It's not going to be Lego. No. Instead, well, it can cost you money if you want. It's called Inventory Watch, and it's an app for your Mac.
Mm-hmm.
And what it does is it lets you see what product inventory is available in a specific Apple store before you go to make a purchase. So this is super handy when you're trying to find, say, a very specific iPhone model, or when there's a new product release and you know inventory might be a little tight in stores. Use Inventory Watch, and you can have it look for a very specific configuration of a device for you and have it look across multiple stores. And when you find where it's in stock, then there you go. Now you found whatever your Apple thing is. So I have used this multiple times to find iPhones, Apple Pencils. There's something else. I've used it several times to find multiple Apple products. And it's fantastic because it makes it so easy to make sure that you're actually going to be able to get what you want without having to just hope that what you want's in the store.
Mm-hmm. That's a really good app. I've used it myself. I've even contributed to it because it's an open source app. So you can contribute features to it if something is missing.
Yes, and it's not limited to the US.
Yeah. Until recently, it didn't support Austria. Now it does.
That's fantastic. So, all right. So with that, thank you to all of you for being so awesome and making my Friday just so much better, because I get to hang out with all of you and you all put smiles on my face. So thank you for that. And I guess we should tell people where we can all be found. So Patrice, where can people find you?
Oh, well, you can find me every week here on Fridays on the Mac Show and also Thursdays on the Big Show. Also next week, we will, despite Thanksgiving and everything, there will be shows. And you can find out more about me on my website, thepatrice.com, all the projects, podcasts, literally everything, social media links, like whatever you need, it's all on my website. And if you want to listen to really cool people talk about food and food-related stories and memories and just everything that goes with that, then head over to Foodie Flashback at foodieflashback.com.
Awesome. And Ben, where can people find you?
After Inventory Watch, Madison Hildale store, getting a phone.
Nice. Road trip.
But you can find me at Ben Rathig on social media. Rathig.tech for my writings. I have a brand new article out about the upcoming ARM chips for Windows. On Tuesday, you can find me with on Mac Voices with the man in blue himself, Mr. Chuck Joyner. Thursday night, you can find me on In Touch of iOS with some Dave Ginsburg guy who had a birthday last week. On Thursday and Fridays, you can always find me here on the British Tech Network on the Bacon Mac shows. And now, once again, I am hungry.
I can imagine you are. Yeah, I can see it. All right, Dave, where can people find you?
You can find me at In Touch with iOS, intouchwithios.com. YouTube channel is youtube.com/intouchwithios. I'm here on Fridays on the Mac show. I'm on Mac Voices Live every Tuesday night. I'm on Mastodon at DaveG65 and Mastodon.cloud. And thank you.
Awesome. All right. And Chuck, where can people find you?
MacVoices.com. That's where you'll find us doing now. We've just kicked off our holiday gift guide series with Dave and Jeff have already been on. Patrice's show is in the can. And there are more coming. So we do that. And of course, we do Mac Voices Live Tuesdays, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, whatever time that is, wherever you are. on youtube.com/MacVoicesTV. Come on in and join the chat and have some fun, because we analyze everything to death and laugh about it. And on all the socials, you can find me as at Chuck Joyner. Thank you, Jeff.
Awesome. All right. So for me on the socials, I'm Jay Gamet, and I am active right now on Mastodon and Instagram, and more so on Threads. That's the one, Threads, that clearly I need to get more active on it so I can remember what the thing is called. Yeah. All right. Then for shows, Chuck, thank you for letting me join you on Mac Voices Live on Tuesdays. And Dave, thank you for letting me join you on In Touch with iOS on Thursdays. And then I'm here for the British Tech Network for the, what's the one on Thursdays? The Big Show. Then the one that we're doing right now, the Mac Show. Also, Brian Chaffin and I do the Context Machine. So I do kind of get around. Doing the Mac Voices gift guide was a lot of fun. Yes. And I'm looking forward to seeing all of the other gift guide episodes. And it could be a very, very expensive series of episodes for me.
100%. Yeah.
All right. So with that, thank you again to all of you for just being awesome and letting me hang out with you on my Friday morning. And all of you that that have joined us live, participating in the chat, thank you for being here. You are all absolutely awesome. Everyone that watches or listens to the recordings later on, thank you for being part of the BTN family as well. Hey, TSO hosts, thanks for being here for us. Go give them some online love, everyone. Ewan, thank you for being you. Muller, thanks for making sure we have people for the shows. Also, don't forget about the Daily News Show. It's fantastic. Kyle's amazing. You get to stay on top of the tech news in a super fast format every day. Throw some money at it too, so we can keep that going. And so, yeah, that's most of the stuff, except I do also need to say, don't forget to join us next Thursday for the Big Show. Although, don't be surprised when you don't see any of us from the colonies on the show, because it will be U.S. Thanksgiving. Then join us again on Friday for the Mac Show, where you'll see those of us from the States looking a little bit pudgier than we did the day before because we ate too much.
Yes, and a lot colder, because U.S. Thanksgiving is basically in the middle of winter.
Yeah, it'll be a little chillier. Yeah. But Ben's already dressed for it. All right. So with that, thanks, everyone. Have an awesome weekend. And we'll see you again next week.